Welcome back to the second episode of Series 34, everyone. We welcome back Nick Butler to finish creating characters for the modular world-building game Tidebreaker. But before we get to that, we have some announcements.
First up, the One Shot Network is participating in the World Builders fundraiser to help support Heifer International. At different goals, we will be unlocking some very cool perks. We've already done a couple, but there's still more to go. You can check it out at wb2020.charactercreationcast.com or the link that's right in the show notes. There's only one more day left as of the time that this episode released. So please go check it out and give if you can.
Absolutely. Next up, this last Friday, if you tuned in to my A Tale of Twinkle and Awe stream, you caught us creating up a New Year's holiday for the world in the form of Citrusmas, which is an orange-themed Christmas-like holiday. When the sun hits the planet at the right angle to cause all the orange plants to blossom, they came up with like a parade where you throw clementines and oranges at the at the viewers of the parade. And you really had to be on your game to catch them because they're throwing them from upwards of six stories high at points. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. But they've got hover mitts. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
It's fine. But it was such a fun time coming up with all of that. And this coming Friday, you can hear what this holiday is like as we enjoy the festival episode. So they're going to go through some fun festivities. And I promise
I do hope that there's like lengthy outfit descriptions.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because somebody mentioned costuming.
Obviously.
Like you dress up and there's a costume contest. So absolutely somebody's got to.
Okay.
And I promise there's no way, shape, or form going to be any sort of twists, wink, wink, at any point during the session. Nothing bad will ever happen.
Ryan?
Yes?
Would you lie to me?
I wouldn't not, maybe not partially lie to you about this. So
feels like you're lying to me.
Wherever that fits into the multiple negatives making a positive or not,
I guess you'll have to find out by watching.
Exactly.
Tune in at 7:30 Central to find out if Ryan lied to Amelia.
Yeah, exactly. You can see us at twitch.chimera.games 7:30 Central on Friday. So definitely tune in. It's going to be a lot of fun. We had so much fun crafting all of that.
I think that's all we have for announcements for today's episode. You can stick around after the show for our call to action and one of our new reviews. So until then, let's get to the show.
Yeah, enjoy. Last time on Character Creation Cast, Amelia was creating a prized fighter coming out of retirement. Nick was creating a Tien from Dragon Ball Z knockoff. And I was creating a magical girl in this DBZ world. We're picking up right where we left off last time. Enjoy.
Yeah, the next step is to make a job. So, yeah, you gotta get a job. Everybody has a job. Okay. I don't know what that says about my game. Like, maybe I'm kind of like just a crappy capitalist kind of guy by nature. But
I don't know. You need something to do with your time. Like,
yeah.
Even if it's so, not for money, you've got hours to fill.
Yeah, everybody's got a thing that they're doing, right? And that's called their job. And so the job system is kind of how we handle skills. And Tiebreaker, it makes an assumption that you're really good at everything a typical action hero guy does, right? So that's the jumping, that's the running, that's the climbing, that's like if there's cars in your setting, you can drive. Like, you know, if your game is about doctors, you know basic medicine. Like, anything that makes you like function at a very base level in this world, you're good at it. So in DBZ, like, you know some basic science stuff because you know how to use capsules. Like, you can probably use a computer. Like, Goku was probably the exception because, you know, he's an alien. And also, Goku's dumb as rocks. So, but you get all those stuff. Those are called heroics. Everything else is up to your intuition. So you get a number of what we call task equal to your intuition. So it's like smart people, like smarter people, or people that can remember more things tend to have more things that they're decent at.
Cool. So I only have to pick one thing.
Yep, like you are pretty good at one thing. So for my TN knockoff, we're gonna say that I'm pretty good at meditating, because TN is basically kind of like a Buddhist monk kind of character. I'm good at playing board games. I think he played Chinese checkers and stuff. And just because to make it not exactly TN in general, like, I'm good at exorcism.
Okay.
The Dragon Ball universe does have ghosts occasionally. Like, they're not huge on it, but they exist. And so, like, I have kind of an exorcist monk that's pretty good at playing Chinese checkers, doing some basic spirituality stuff, and getting rid of pesky ghosts and things. Okay, so I'm kind of like more like Moroku from Inuyasha.
Okay.
All right. And then from there, I have one thing that I'm amazing at, and that's called my specialty. Hmm. So of all the things in the world, this is the only thing that I actually get to add dice to. Your regular task and your heroics, you just use your stats. Everything else, you add botch one to it. So you can try literally anything. Roll your regular stat, and your ones just remove successes. Because, like, again, Tiebreaker is a game about hyper-competent heroes. So, like, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, you can try it, and, like, you have an okay chance of success. Like, your regular tasks, you have just a regular amount of success, and your specialty, that's the thing that you're probably going to knock out the park. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that thing that I'm going to knock out of the park is, well, I mean, it's DBZ, so it's going to be, like, training. Like, I'm really good at training people. I'm the character that you go to when you need to get a new transformation for the season. So, like, I'm not TN anymore. I'm King Kai.
Nice.
Anyway, so my specialty is training. And whenever I need to do something about or along those lines, I get +2 to that. Yeah. So what about y'all?
I'm going to go with one of my jobs is going to be astronomy.
Okay. What was your intuition?
2.
All right, so you got 2 things.
Yeah.
What's the other?
I'm trying to think of a good other one. I have to think about that one. Do you got anything, Amelia?
Well, here's the thing. I want my job to be a talk show host.
Oh.
So I would say interviewing.
Yeah, that's what I put for my specialty was interviewing.
Yeah. Specialty is interviewing, and then probably like just a regular task would be like, I don't know, like idle chatter or something like that.
Asking the right question.
Yeah, just questioning.
Let's see.
Because I think you have to do something after you're done, you know, like you're out of your prime. Mm. So you transition to talk show host as your retirement job.
Oh, you should do gossip as your regular task.
Oh, yes. Ooh,
gossip would be fun.
I'm going to change that. Whoops.
All right. My other is geology for my other job.
Very sciencey, magical
girl. Very sciencey, yeah. Specialty. Okay, goodness.
Could be like research.
Yeah, research sounds good. Very, very brainy, magical girl who likes to kick butt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's definitely sounding like Pluto was the smart one.
Okay.
Right? Am I wrong? Like,
I have seen maybe 5 episodes of DBZ.
No, so talk about Sailor Moon.
Oh, Sailor Moon. Oh, yeah, Pluto. Yeah. Pluto. Yeah. Pluto was. Yeah. I mean, Neptune was really, really smart.
The one with the short hair.
Yeah, that would be Ami. That would be Mercury.
She was the smart one, right?
Yeah, Mercury's the really smart one.
Yeah, so you're kind of like her, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit of Mercury in there.
A little bit of Mercury, a little bit of Jupiter.
Yeah.
Little bit of Mars.
All right, so from there, moving back on to the parts that we're actually recording again.
Yeah.
So you have your jobs, you have your specialties. So we move on to our quirks. You get three of these. When you're making your character and your concept, this is why I say do your concept first, because your quirks basically define what that concept is and everybody else that has that same thing. Okay. So like if you're like a magical girl.
Yeah.
Your three quirks are basically the blueprint for every other magical girl.
Okay.
So like if there's like a magical girl knockoff version of you, like they've got the same three quirks or maybe like one different depending on how frisky the GM is feeling that day. Mm-hmm. But typically they're going to use your character's quirks as a blueprint. So you get three of those. And then beyond that, you get one standout feature. And that standout feature is a very powerful passive ability. Sometimes some of them are active, but mostly these things are passive. But you are the only person in the whole friggin' universe that has this ability. So amongst all of the magical girls, amongst all the exorcist monks, amongst all of the whatever Amelia is, like this is your thing. Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah, and from that, that's going down a list of quirks, picking three of them, going down the list of standout features, pick one of those. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just pick whatever sounds cool. And then, you know, write it down. Because until you, like, have played the game a few times, like, a lot of this is just going to be like, hey, when you do this and that, like, you get to add this. Or, like, whenever you, whatever. Like, it's...
Yeah.
But, like, all the quirks in this game also have a secondary thing that is specifically for, like, being diplomatic or sneaking or something. Okay. Where the first half of the ability is for, like, specifically combat stuff.
Right.
So, like, you can look at the stuff and go, oh, cool. Like, if I pick Comforter for once per session, I act as a beacon of hope for my current neighborhood. Which just means that whenever people hang out with me, we restore hope. Because, like, I'm that comforting presence in the world, you know, like you're trying to think of a character that kind of functions like that in a level show.
Okay.
Kind of like Daenerys in Game of Thrones, kind of when she was still a good guy, like spoilers.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone was like, Khaleesi, we love you. And she restores hope because she's the breaker of chains and stuff. So she might've had Comforter as one of her quirks.
Oh, cool.
All right.
But as for my TN now, let's see. I'm going to go through real quick. And I'm thinking, you know, also because it helps shore up my range defense, I'm going to take Foresight because that's kind of a little homage to TN's third eye, which doesn't come up in the show very often, but it actually allows him to be slightly psychic.
Okay.
And what Foresight does is it allows him to add his wits to any of his recovery rolls against range attacks. So if he got hit by a range attack or something, he can add his wits to his next recovery check. I have to edit that though, because like it used to be that like you recovered immediately, but now it's like you recover in return. So yeah, just go to self. Again, this is why we pay people to look at this stuff for us. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna get that. Let's see.
There's a lot of good choices in here.
That's very, very intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we pick three of these?
Yep.
Okay.
Three quirks and then one standout, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm just reading through the names are very evocative. And I'm finding myself going through all the different names because they feel like they state what they are about. In the name themselves, which is really cool.
Thank you. It's definitely something I was shooting for. Mm-hmm. Wanting the people to go, oh, I want to be thick with two C's. Oh, Meatwall. Tidebreaker is a body positive game. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's going to get Resolute. That's definitely Tiana in a nutshell. The guy does not give up. And what Resolute does is whenever he takes damage, he can spend 5 momentum to add his focus to his next attack roll. So additionally, whenever he uses the Hope ability, Could You Not, when conducting negotiations, and Could You Not just basically like stops him from taking negative effects from things. So like if anybody has like a rider effect that like makes him botch or something, he can just say no. It also applies to his abilities that would cause him to botch. Because Unat does everything but prevent you from botching. Okay. But while he's negotiating, it also includes botching.
Right.
So he's super tanky, and he's really good at getting his point across.
Nice. All right, so I got my quirks and standout selected, I think.
I have to pick my standout, but I got my quirks. Yeah,
I've got one more to go.
I also liked Resolute. Oh no, I closed it. Shoot.
Yeah. This is going to get solid. This character is going to be very tanky.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets his he gains momentum equal to his endurance whenever he successfully resists an attack with his endurance. And as a side effect, he also adds his power level when using his raw strength to deal with obstacles. So Tien punching through rocks and stuff like he did in the fight versus Nappa is because he's solid. Mm-hmm.
So I went with adorable. For one of my quirks.
Of course you did.
Of course. Because magical girl.
Because magical girl. So my allies gain momentum whenever you are taken down equal to your wits. So my wits is 2. So my allies gain 2 momentum whenever I'm taken down. Is that what I'm reading there?
Yeah.
And then in diplomatic situations, you are always treated as a friend until proven otherwise. I like both of those parts of adorable. And then I also selected Comforter. So at the end of any scene, if your party has unspent momentum, I can convert 5 points of momentum for 1 hope. And that sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
And then, heart, which does, let's see, you gain momentum equal to your intuition or focus, which one chosen cannot be changed when you're taken down. Once you speak out for something you believe in, you may push your dice once you for free. So that sounds pretty sweet. And then my standout feature, I went with Celestial Wrath, which sounded pretty sweet.
Dope. Still have to pick my standout.
Yeah.
Let's do that real quick. Yeah, so Celestial Wrath is not available for the rest of this.
Yeah. So that one, once per combat, I can spend hope at the beginning of my turn to remove the momentum cap, and at any point as an interrupt, spend all of your momentum to immediately deal attrition to the target opponent equal to the total sprint. So that's pretty sweet.
So let's see. I think I might take... I'm going to say collected as my standout. So I may spend 1 hope and a full round to compose myself, ignoring any effects that may target me, and increase my power level by the total DR, which is the difficulty rating, or the power level of the source if applicable, of all effects removed in this way until the end of scene, becoming immune to any effects that would prevent me from moving or acting until the end of scene. Mm. Additionally, if you have cool and calmness quirks, you gain a specialty in basketball because puns. The special thanks is not in the game yet, but the pun is my brother and sister. Their first initials are B and A specifically. Mm. So together, our initials are NBA.
Nice.
So, like, shout out to my brother and sister, Amber and Brian.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So if you take Cool, Calm, and Collected, which is my personal standout, because I put out a supplement in a previous update called the Jackson Legacy, which I made a bunch of quirks based off of members of my family. Mm. So when I put out the special thanks in the final version, their names will be listed next to their
that's really cool.
Quirks and stuff that they inspired in the special thanks section.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm really having a hard time finding one that I like. I don't know if it does.
What was your concept?
It's like returning hero, like former.
Okay. Former champion.
Yeah.
I like that. Let's see. You could go with, you know, very, very sane kind of standout. You could go with Noble's Pride. That sounds good. So whenever you fail a check, you may spend 10 momentum to immediately reroll the check and add any successes from the original roll to the final results.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, that works. Thanks.
That sounds pretty sweet.
Let's go all right. With that.
And with that, that's all of your quirks. That's your standout features. Mm-hmm. So from there, we have the last step is ability generation.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is the most fun part, but also the part that is, if you aren't like really solid on your concept, can be the hardest, because this takes taking a bunch of options and combining them together into three unique abilities.
Okay.
But you got to have like a nice visual picture of like what you're trying to do, or else like it does make it harder to like get through the list and go, okay, well, what do I want to do with this character? Mm-hmm. You know? So like what I like to do when I'm guiding people through this is I like to start with the concepts for your three abilities first, and then we pick the functions and stuff to build those out. Okay.
Okay.
And let's see. I say Ryan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You already had three concepts pretty much. You wanted to transform, you wanted to kick people with lightning and punch people with fire.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So let's do your transformation. Because what is a magical girl without a good transformation sequence?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll help you with yours because there's lots and lots of options here.
Okay.
And then I'll help Amelia, and then I'll do mine. So what do you picture yourself doing when you transform?
Well, let's see. Kind of has to be the whole, like, it changes my appearance a bit and my outfit. And since I'm kind of hands-on and don't use, like, actual weapons, I think it just, it doesn't produce any additional weapons or anything like that, but it just makes me look more formidable.
Okay, so it's like literally like a Super Saiyan transformation.
Effectively, yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to be too hard to do to get right in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the main function that you're looking for is in the utility section, and I believe it's called Unleash. Mm. But let's double check. It's like, though I wrote the game, there's like over 100 some odd functions in this game, so like, yeah. I can't remember every single one of them like verbatim, but you know, as I'm going through the PDF too, this is actually a little slower to scroll through than it is on Google Docs. Let's see, well, we also have Awaken. Awaken might work. So let's look at that one first. Pick two, your target gains +1 power while return. Your target is treated as if one zone closer to your targets. Your target may upshift or downshift themselves as an interrupt. Or on dodge, your target's attacks cause their opponents to pay 5 momentum or become cornered. Or on contact, your target's attacks may deal attrition equal to their successes instead of dealing damage. Your target gains the chosen effects for a number of turns equal to your power levels. You may pick Awaken twice. If you do, you may affect a number of targets in range equal to your power level for your power level in turns. And it has an adventure effect where every single function in this game has a non-combat function that's either non-combat clause, which is either adventure or social, where adventure is like all of the, like, I'm walking around, I'm trying to disarm traps and stuff, like your D&D stuff. And the social things is like espionage, it's charming people, that kind of stuff. And so Awaken's adventure clause is you may unlock the hidden potential of a character, giving them a bonus to their power level equal to your power level until target project is complete. This bonus power level only applies to any roles directly related to the project and may not be used for projects involving combat. And projects is like all of our crafting and stuff in this game.
Okay.
So yeah, Awaken might work. Like, it depends on like if you want to like do it to yourself and other people or just you.
Oh, yeah. So Awaken is for other people, right?
Yeah. Like, you can target yourself with Awaken.
Oh, okay.
Awaken specifically allows you to target other people with this.
As well. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. All right. So let's look at the other one, which I believe is Unleash. Like I said before. This is an alphabetical order, so I gotta, like, kind of slowly scroll through to make sure I don't, like, mm-hmm. overshoot it.
So you get +2 and 2 stats of your choice. Oh, you get to pick two of these things that can happen here for Unleash.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Gain ignite one on all attacks. Okay. Opponents gain botch 1 on all attacks that target you only, or you may spend 5 momentum to ignore any effect that targets you. You still take damage.
Yeah, and then you keep your choices for your power level in turns and gain one of the following penalties. You gain an elemental weakness. You may no longer dash or benefit from movement functions, or you may no longer gain momentum, or you gain attrition equal to your power level until Unleash ends.
Okay.
So Unleashed versus Awakened. Unleashed gives you much better raw numbers, but it comes with a downside.
Yeah. I think I like Awakened better.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could do both.
True.
Your transformation could be absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I, yeah, I think that might actually fit well. Because then I can go up 2 power levels if I need to.
Yeah.
Right.
And that stacked power level that you gain, would also make the duration of these last longer.
Cool. So I'll take Awaken and Unleash then for the functions of the transformation sequence ability.
Yeah, so you got to pick the 2 options for each, because Unleash and Awaken have those extra levels.
Oh, fun.
Those extra steps.
Okay, so let's see. So I get to choose Awaken. Your target gains +1 power level every turn. Your target is treated as if 1 zone closer to their targets. Oh, that's cool. Your target may upshift or downshift themselves as an interrupt. On a dodge, your target's attacks cause their opponents to pay 5 momentum or become cornered. Or on contact, your target's attacks may deal attrition equal to their successes instead of dealing damage. Oh.
Yeah, the important thing about those is on dodge is whenever your opponent chooses to dodge at all, that effect happens, even if you miss.
Okay.
And on contact is the same thing, but for blocking.
Okay, so I really like the your target gains 1+1 power level every turn.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty sweet.
If it's every turn. Yeah, then the transformation lasts for your starting power level. It's not, because it's not an immediate power level boost. It's like, okay. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, so you still get to transform for 2 turns and then get like stats out the wazoo.
Yeah. I think that makes sense, because I'd still be kind of competent without the transformations.
Yeah, you're still really like, good without the transformation.
Put myself into kind of an overdrive sort of situation.
Yeah, you're like spinning around in a circle while your clothes magically come up on you. It happens before the fight starts, but this is more like you're activating your...
Exactly.
You're like, oh, crap, my friends are in trouble.
Yeah. Let's see... Yeah, and I think I want to, your target is treated as if 1 zone closer to their target. So people would be 1 zone closer.
Yep. So it's basically giving yourself ranged, like in a jank way.
Yeah. But I can definitely see that working. And then for Unleash, goodness. I do love me some crunchy games. This is definitely right up my alley for the amount of options. It's tickling the 90s part of my brain.
Yeah, I like the crunch, but I don't like the math. So yeah. Like, I kind of went for the balance there.
That makes sense. So let's see. The Unleash allows me to gain 2.
+2 and 2 stats of your choice.
Yeah, I think I want to maybe... I mean, can I go above the max of 5 at that point, or...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'll have to add that into the fact, too, because it's normally really hard to get, like, stat upgrades.
Yeah.
But Unleash is, like, one of the rare things that allows you to do that.
Okay. So, and is this, like, a permanent thing? Like, all times I get +2 or only when I unleash?
Only when you're unleashed.
Okay. So, I'm gonna put +2 in Might, which would put me at 6 when I'm unleashed. And I'm going to say +2 in focus.
Yeah, sure. The weaknesses.
That'll push me up to that'll put me at a 3 focus, when I'm unleashed. And then
I love that. Like, she's concentrating mad hard when she's unleashed.
I like it.
You should do botch for the other one, but like all of the attacks botch, so like you get higher focus, and it's really hard for them to hit you because you give them botch.
Yeah, I like that. So opponents botch too. So that's my transformation sequence, a combination of Awaken and Unleash.
What was the Awaken choices again?
Power level, +1 power level per turn, and 1 zone closer.
Oh, that's juicy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not getting away from you. You're much harder to hit now.
Yeah.
And you're going to get numbers.
I can kind of see like the one zone closer thing being like just super fast getting up to them, making contact,
and then, like, getting away, yeah.
And then like effectively flipping backwards back to your starting position, or.
And that's super, super Sentai.
Yeah.
Magical girl kind of stuff. Just yeah. like jump kicking and then bouncing off of them mm-hmm. back to your starting zone. I love that. I love that a lot.
Yeah.
That's really good. So what's the downside to your Unleash?
All right. So, let's see. Oh, gain one of the following penalties. Elemental weakness. You may no longer dash or benefit from movement. You no longer gain momentum. You gain attrition equal to your power level until Unleash ends.
I kind of liked the last one.
Yeah. That's that one, or the elemental weakness one would be really interesting. Because my whole thing of like utilizing the elements while I'm transformed effectively.
Yeah.
And then becoming weak to the elements afterwards.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of poetic.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
All right. That's interesting. This whole concept of creating an ability by throwing functions together, and then everything, it feels like a very narrative to crunch build system of sorts.
Oh, thank you, because that's exactly what I was going for.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I really wanted people to look at the mechanics and go, I have so many ideas, like narratively speaking, not just like I wanted to like break the game as hard as possible, right?
Right.
Was just going, oh wow, like I could pair a wall with like pool or something like that to make like a vacuum or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just I want people to be able to just go, I have this idea. How do I do it? Okay, that's how you do it. And yeah. like be able to do that for pretty much anything that they can think of, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, right? You know, it's just like anything that you want to do in a fight, like Tiebreaker can more or less handle it.
That's very cool.
So we got two other abilities. We're gonna say your transformation is ability A, right? So B, we're gonna do the punching people with fire.
Yeah, I like that.
And because you have an elemental weakness, like we definitely want to make some elements. So because that's a assumption that we've just made about this pseudo DBZ universe is that. There's elemental magic or elemental key. So yeah. We're kind of like leaning on Avatar a little bit here. Shout out to Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. Just shout out to everybody today. Shout out to everybody on our Reddit/RPG design that wants to make an Avatar game.
Mm-hmm.
Hack mine. You can do it. All right. So going up to offense. Offense has elements, and that gives you the rules, the elements, the weaknesses, and things. They're also in the keyword section, but that's spelled out in detail here. I mean, I think both of your abilities will probably have element because of the, you know, them being elemental.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to kind of skin, like, fire and lightning or whatever. Like, you can define them any way you want.
Okay.
But as far as like going, hey, like this is definitely fire, right?
Yeah.
Like you want to say, hey, well, I'll pick element. Or you could just be like, hey, it's engulfing. It's fire. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's fire.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking doing element and engulfing for that.
So, the element for the audience, the way it works is you make an elemental damage type. So that can be anything you want. It could be music or like shoelaces or something. Like, I don't care. Like, whatever you want it to be. Mm-hmm. So as part of the ability's creation, you pick a weakness. This can be anything you want it to be, subject to GM approval. And when using this ability, you get power level by one for all attacks against targets that are not protected by your elemental weakness. So if your elemental weakness is shoelaces, if somebody is tied up in... and shoelaces and stuff, like your attacks don't get the bonus anymore.
Okay.
But against everybody else, fire hurts.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. And then engulfing makes it so if an attack would miss, Due to your target using cover this turn, you may deal attrition equal to the number of successes you rolled this turn instead. So, and I can kind of see like the heat of the blast or something like that, or punching the cover that they're behind.
Yeah, just like shockwaves and whatever reason that you want it to be like.
Yeah,
you're going to take a little bit of damage anyway. But it was definitely kind of inspired by like those kind of like iconic scenes in movies where like the hero is like got his shield up and he's like blocking the dragon's fire breath, but the fire breath is like bending around the shield a little bit. Yeah. And he's like sweating and he's going, crap, I can't hold this for much longer. Could somebody please stab this guy in the eye? Mm-hmm. Kind of action. And that's what golfing kind of triggers in my own mind. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So yeah, element in a golfing, that's your ability B. So we got another one for C. Like you can pick another element for if you want, or you can kind of be a little bit more like loose with it and just make your lightning kicks like something else that doesn't get like the elemental damage, but also doesn't have to worry about you having another elemental weakness to worry about. Oh yeah, by the way, the elemental damage is fire. What's fire weak to in this universe?
I mean, it's got to be water, right?
Yeah.
Or carbon dioxide.
Yeah, which we could shorten down to gas or something like that.
Yeah.
Even though fire itself is gas.
Yeah.
Like the mild science nerd in me.
Mm-hmm.
So like fire just being weak to more gas is like kind of funny. Fight fire with fire. Yes, let's go. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Fire, elemental weakness, fire. Can we do that?
Oh, that would be strange.
Well, I mean, like, kinda.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like again, shout out to Avatar, but they had the Anji Kais, I think they were called, where they fought each other. And I feel like they weren't really protected by their own flame barriers too well.
Right.
You know what I mean? But fire also had that water weakness too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the classic water weakness is nice.
Yeah.
We'll just go with that to keep it easy to remember.
Facts. Okay, so for your last ability, let's take a look at what are you thinking? What does lightning kicks look like?
I think it has stun.
Okay.
It does no damage, but your opponent may not spend or gain momentum until the end of your next turn. And then there was another one that I saw that looked really interesting. I think it's up further. Exhausting. So on contact, your opponent's next attack may only deal damage on a critical hit.
Ooh, that's dirty.
Yeah.
And their chances of dealing critical hits to you when you are either transformed or you've stunned them is very low, considering they can't momentum shift you for that turn after getting hit by that.
Mm-hmm.
Or do any of the other like dozens of things that require them to use momentum to power up their abilities. So like that's a good shut you down kind of lightning kick.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking about or with that.
Man, I can see this character playing out. Like if they get serious, they transform, they get like stupid strong and fast for a second, then they lightning kick the crap out of you the second turn.
Yeah.
And then like that third turn, you're just sitting over there. I'm like, okay, then do something.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. All right. So that's a character.
Cool. Oh, wow. So I'm done after the abilities.
Yep.
Oh, beautiful.
Like with the scenario generation and stuff, we would be adding hooks and questions and things.
Yeah.
But I would like to skip that without going through the whole scene gen process.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah, it's a little incomplete without it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like as far as like being able to play the game and just start going through and doing all the talky bits and the fighting or whatever, like you're all set.
Cool. All
right, so Emilio, you've been a little quiet while I've been helping your boy out.
Yeah, so I have to go down and get some Advil.
Oh, no.
FYI, do not feel good.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I feel like I'm going to throw up. So we're going to go through this, but I'm a little quiet because I just really don't feel good. So
I'm here. If you follow along,
I'm trying.
You got three abilities, two functions. So we got pick six and you're good.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah.
So let's let's get into this concept. You're a returning warrior. You know, like, you've got that noble's pride in you. So, like, you're really good at fighting and you believe in yourself. And so why is that? Like, let's dig into it.
Yeah, I feel like Brian's got his, badass? Like, skills from step one, so...
Yeah, I accidentally fell right into them, which was cool. Yours is definitely a much more open-ended concept.
Yeah, I know, which makes this hard, because I feel like there's, like... I'm having analysis paralysis right now, where there's just, like, too many...
Yeah, there's a lot of options.
Too many options in front of me.
you do the concept first, so, like, you go... Hey, I have this character. I want them to do a couple of things. And then you just make the mechanics fit your concepts.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best way to go about this. So let's drill down into your concept more.
Okay.
So let's picture your character in a fight. Like what does their fight look like? Like, take all the mechanics away from it. So, like, you see your character, like, what do they look like? Like, how do they fight?
Well, I mean, like, for my stats, I put most of it into agility. So I imagine it's quick. Like,
yeah, you're a speedster.
Yeah.
So, like, do you use weapons? Like, are you kind of like, do you have a particular martial art in mind that you're trying to emulate? Or, like, like, just, like, thematically speaking, like, you don't have to be, like, a martial arts aficionado. But, like, you can just be like, hey, I wanted to look like Bruce Lee.
You know, here's the thing. If Ryan is going to make a magical girl for the second series in a row, then for the second series in a row, my character is going to have a katana.
Hey.
Take that, all Ryan. Right.
Do it.
Speedy katana guy, girl.
That's, person. I mean, literally the character I made last time, too, was, like, quick and dirty. Like,
yep.
So let's take that character from your previous episode and make them a tiebreaker.
All right.
Yeah.
And, like, me being a little bit of a weeb, I'm a fan of the teleports behind you, nothing personal, bro, kind of action. So let's do this.
All right.
So take your last character, turn it up to 11, and let's see what we get, right?
Right. It's not a light-up katana this time, at least.
Although.
I mean, you are in Dragon Ball universe. It very well could be a light-up katana. You have got key powers.
It's, like, not made out of a light bulb, at least.
No.
Could be. It's also a science fiction universe. DBZ's very fruitful kind of universe to be building in.
So I'm hearing katana.
Yep.
Quick. Mm-hmm. And stealthy.
Yeah.
Three different things. I mean, that might be a good base for the three abilities, right?
That's true.
Katana Rogue. Okay. So, audience, when you're listening and you get into the comments, sounds like she's building hit with a sword.
Okay.
Time powers? Yes? No? Time
sure.
Powers?
Why not?
It's time powers. Okay, cool. All right, so we got time powers and a katana. Oh, wait, no, it's not hit anywhere. It's Bayonetta. Yes. All right.
Oh, Bayonetta.
All right. Anyway, it's just references for days.
Yeah.
That's what I do. All right. So let's dig down into this. The main dish is the move really fast, cut something. Ability.
Yeah.
So that's actually can be done in dozens of ways, but I think the simplest way to do this would be to use something from utility called Decelerate. Because speed can be speed in fiction is like kind of like represented in different ways.
Yeah.
When I see the katana bro that moves fast through you, like, it's you've got the teleporting stuff, you've got the I've struck for you and then you take the damage later kind of thing. But, like, I want to focus just on I'm faster than you kind of bits, right? So Accelerate does this. And what it does is you may spend 5 momentum to shift upward 1 spot in the initiative or to immediately gain 1 turn's worth of charges to any of your bank effects. Tiebreaker has a lot of functions that have what are called bank effects, which basically you get to just roll your dice and then save the successes. Okay. And then you use those to trigger something ridiculous. But I think for you, I would probably say it's just go, hey, I'm going to go faster because I'm faster.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll take that. And let's look at the movement part of this. Or we can just kind of like really, really sell the speed and do like something like Flash where you can't be interrupted by your enemy. And you can pick that twice so you can actually trick and Flash later to get the second part of it. And if you do, you can spend 10 momentum to end a turn early. Doing so adds any charges, turns, extra successes, etc. that may occur with the passing of a round as normal. And play resumes at the top of the initiative order. So like it's your turn. And then like if you were first, it's your turn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. So we're just going through options right now because this is what I'm thinking for speed at the moment. Like not even looking at the offense section. This is just stuff and utility. Okay. You could do, this is kind of like an oddball thing, but you could use Infuse, where your target gains a number of charges that they can use for any of their bank abilities equal to the amount of successes that you rolled. Okay. So like, if you're going like, all right, sheathing the sword, leaning backwards, leaning backwards, leaning backwards, leaning backwards, yajutsu, whoosh, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can infuse yourself to just get a whole bunch of charges really quickly. You know what I'm saying? Or you could do it for somebody else for reasons, but like, you know, options. We've got those. Outflank would actually work with Accelerate too, because you can downshift or upshift your opponent a number of ranks equal to your power level. So you can say, I'm going up one and you're going down two. And this can also be done as an interrupt. Interrupts usually cost 5 momentum to the trigger, and then you can just do it in response to your opponent. So like you can go, oh, instead of you actually hitting me, you're going to go 2 turns later. And then yeah, I'm going to go up a turn.
I'm already gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If your target is cornered or overextended, they may not receive any beneficial effects from their allies until the end of your next turn as part of outflank. So
I like that.
Yeah. Outflank is another like, hey, I'm faster than you kind of ability. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tidebreaker has a lot of things that use upshift and downshift to mess with the initiative order.
Nice.
Yeah. I really like that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of options to make it so that if you or your opponent are on the top of the initiative order, you can even capitalize it or make them pay for being faster than you. Because like I said, we like min-maxing, but we also like making sure that it doesn't break the game either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In our functions, if you build around that kind of stuff, like you can make anything work. Let's see. So let's go a little lower. And if we want to go straight up hit from Dragon Ball Z with the time and space nonsense, yeah, you can go refraction, which makes you considered one zone further away from your opponent's effects that target you and one zone closer for your allies and your own. Refraction can be picked twice. If you do, you and all of your allies a number of zones away from you equal to your power level are treated as one zone closer to each other and one zone further away from your opponents for all purposes.
Oh, wow.
So you can be so fast that your opponents are hitting after images literally because you're actually somewhere else.
Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah. Let's see.
So you get 2 functions per ability, right?
Yep.
So if you could probably do a couple of them for your
for your other stuff. Like you can just really ham up the speed.
Yeah.
Thing and just do like all my things are speed based. Like, oh, and we have Swift.
Yeah, Swift I saw that. Swift
makes you shift upward a spot. You act in your new spot on your next turn. Yeah, you can pick this function twice to gain the following. You spend 10 momentum to cause opponents that attack you to suffer a downward shift and trade places with you if they were above you in the order and moving down one position if you acted before them. Swift accelerate, all that stuff. That's speed. Gotta go fast. Sonic the Hedgehog, let's go.
Yeah.
Never shut up.
Hey, I'm familiar with Sonic.
Yeah. All right. So moving on with speed stuff. Okay. Because now this is just kind of like a masterclass on how to build a speedster in Tidebreaker.
Yeah.
So we have Ambush in the movement department. Allows you to upshift your target by the amount of zones they moved this turn. So if they dashed, you can upshift them 2 spots. If you use that as an interrupt and you ended up overextending your target, overextend is like when your target is in the first initiative slot, and they get upshifted again, they can't dodge.
Gotcha.
You can ignore the cost of the interrupt and gain ignite one. So let's see.
That close looked interesting too.
Yeah, close is fun, especially if you did something with like refraction or like some nonsense like that. Or if you do it with Ryan's character when they're transformed, like that would combo really well.
Yeah, and I know you wanted kind of a stealthy person as well, and I saw there was a camouflage defense.
Yep.
There's also a fleet.
Yeah, fleet is like the most simple. It's like, I want to move further. This is the one. An exile is the straight up teleport, like because you can exile yourself. So you instantaneously move your target to a zone of your choice up to your power level away from you and may prevent your target from moving away from the zone of your choice until the end of your turn. The target does not trigger any hazards or anything like that upon moving into the zone and does not count as having moved for purposes of effects that track that. So, yeah, you could just exile yourself and not prevent yourself from moving away to just immediately just go, poop, I'm over here now. Where fleet actually does still trigger anything that happens if you move into zones of bad things.
Gotcha.
Hyper is probably the other like OG in movement because while dashing takes your action normally, hyper just says you can do stuff while dashing.
Okay.
And if you spend momentum, you may spend momentum as hope for the purposes of pushing dice. So what a dice push. As like say your dice landed on a 3, and if you apply push 1, that dice becomes a 4. Thus it's a success. Hyper builds are really cool when you're doing showstoppers a lot, because like, hey, you gain ignite 1 immediately for triggering a showstopper, right?
Yeah.
And if you're dashing around with hyper, and you got a bunch of 5s, you can just push them into sixes, and then you get more dice.
Very cool.
Yeah, so like this... Fat options. Jaunt is another kind of teleport effect. You may move yourself one zone and then upshift yourself. You leave a copy of yourself in your former zone, and opponents that wish to target you have to pay 5 momentum or target the copy instead.
Oh.
So that's the classic DBZ after image effect. Juke is really nice for that kind of thing, too. If you move this turn, your opponent gains botch 1. Until the end of your next turn, you can use it as an interrupt to move one zone, gain ignite 1 until the end of your turn, and in addition, your target gains botch 1. So they still get the botch 1, but you also get ignite, and you get to move out the way if you interrupt.
Nice.
So, speed.
Yeah.
Lots of speed stuff. Mm-hmm. Really depends on how you want to do it. Like I said, I'd probably just go, like, accelerate and something else that the... As you liked, I think you said you liked refraction, right?
Yeah, I liked refraction.
Yeah, so we'll do that. And we got 2 other things to do. So, that's the accelerate refraction thing. I'll just kind of call that just like making yourself faster in time. I really would like to see this character, like, don't mind me building this for you. That's if you're like sick, but probably have something along the lines of just like hyper and fleet, because like that's like one of the most commonly made, like, I gotta go someplace really, really fucking quick abilities.
Yeah, I like those ones.
Yeah, hyper fleet is just, I move really, really far. Because hyper allows you to dash, and fleet increases your dash distance. So, like, they pair up really, really well.
Yeah,
and
I like that combo. You got one more
thing to do.
Okay. I mean, so the 2 that we've done so far are all about movement. I probably should do something about once I get there.
Well, one's about accelerating yourself so you go faster, and then pushing yourself so they feel like you're a zone further away from them. And then the other one's about moving really quickly.
Right. But for both of those, like,
they're definitely just about the speed.
Right.
Yeah.
Then what?
So now you want to slice people up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It also depends if your accelerate is the I gain charges version or if it's the I upshift myself version.
I mean, I think upshifting is probably...
Yeah, because if it's the charge version, their third thing by just process of making it make sense would have to be a charge ability of some sort.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's just like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. All right. But yeah, the hyper thing gives you a whole bunch of dice and allows you to dash, which is nice. So that's a good gap closer that does damage. Then you have your A ability to make yourself faster and protect yourself because you're considered a zone fervor. Your third ability, I kind of picture this character doing a lot of after imagery nonsense. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I could see that. I was looking at Faint. Where did that one go?
Faint is an offense, so it's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I believe it's offense.
So. Attack with your wits before your opponent chooses their defense to deal no damage.
Even the hard part is that my wit is pretty low.
But. Yeah.
Faint would not work for you very well.
No. But I don't have to play this character, so...
True.
Exhausting might be an interesting choice for your like main attack sort of deal, right?
Yeah, but then she'd be basically copying you.
Effectively, in that regards. But I think thematically it fit because of just being so fast, you kind of like exhaust the opponents. Yeah, there's a lot of good offensive sort of things here.
Oh, you know what you can do? Because you already do something about like making sure that you go first all the time, mm-hmm. You can use Crash. Crash adds your initiative rank to your attack roll. Ooh. It's counting up from the last position because initiative rank stuff, it's either count up or count down because like being last is not a bad thing in Tidebreaker. Mm-hmm. Or it doesn't have to be, like, right. You know, if you build tactically. I had a lot of bad dice rolls in initiative when I played D&D, so I was like, no, screw that. Mm-hmm. So to make sure being last is not like a death sentence. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
that's
but
one
yeah,
thing anyway. I like about like the like Edge of the Empire and stuff too, is that it's like slotted order too. So you can be like, I want to go first, or like, I'll let you go first, or, you know, like you have PC and NPC slots. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's because it's really frustrating when you're like, I need to do this thing, but I've got to wait 6 turns, and by then it won't be good anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But Crash adds your initiative rank counting up from the last spot to your attack roll. So these dice are added retroactively. So if you would hit due to the extra dice, then your opponent takes the damage as normal. And it has an dodge effect where your attack causes your opponent to downshift. Crash may be picked twice. If you do, all of your on-contact effects ignite, and your on-dodge effects inflict botch 1 on your opponents, in addition to their normal effects.
Wow. Crash sounds really good with that sort of initiative shifting thing.
Yeah.
That
I feel like that works.
Yeah, so we do Crash, and then do something else in the offense, because you're in position now, and you just want to jack people up. Ooh, you know what would be kind of cool? Mm. Just for that odd balls position where like you haven't got first yet, mm-hmm. is anticipated. So you may add your initiative rank counting down to your next attack until the end of your next turn. So you can trigger this function as an interrupt to gain the bonus immediately until the end of the current round. If you're not attacked before your next turn or interrupt an opponent, you botch the action. But if you're somehow last, you succeed either way.
Yeah.
Oh, we should change your standout feature too.
Okay.
Because since we're now just like all about the gotta go fast nonsense.
Yeah.
And the standout feature I'm thinking is Speed Demon. Because reasons.
I mean, I feel like the description says enough about why that would be.
Yeah. Yeah, like why it's a good thing, like yeah. To get Speed Demon, right? Well, let's look at what it does.
Erase this here. These are like the messiest notes I've ever taken. Holy crap.
Wow. I gotta
scroll up quite a bit.
Yeah, so if you're not first in the initiative order, after initiative is rolled, you reroll your initiative and add your power level. If you are already first... your agility rolls explode until the end of combat.
Oh, yeah, I want that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm writing that.
That sounds pretty sweet.
And I would probably change one of your quirks to High Strong because it allows you to make your initiative rolls ignite.
Oh, I already had that one.
Oh, you did? Oh, cool. Yeah. And yeah, you're definitely optimized.
That's awesome.
Look at that. All right, well, playing the game.
Other than myself, that's it.
That's all awesome.
Right. While I was helping y'all, I didn't actually do anything for my own character.
That's perfectly fine.
I can basically just make three quick abilities real quick.
There you go.
So let's see. I want Key Blasting because I'm a DBZ character. And what is a DBZ character if they're not throwing balls of energy at you? But for my main Key Blast, we're going to do ranged because obviously. And I think push will be fun.
Okay.
So like when you get hit by one of my beams, it blasts you off into oblivion.
Oh, that's okay? Nice.
And so I'm also going to have a hyper speed kind of attack to allow me to close distance and do damage. So
okay.
I'm going to use hyper and jaunt. Okay. So I can dash and attack at the same time, and I can also interrupt to leave a mirror image and move away if I need to. So I don't have to worry about my really low focus, because if I have momentum, which I will, because I'll be blocking all day long, right, is to just go, no, I'm not even there, bro.
Right.
Let's see. Yeah, for my last attack, I want to do, these are more like kind of approaches, because mm-hmm. That's the way abilities work in this game. So I have the ability to Key Blast, I have the Hyper Speed, and I really just should have something that's kind of like general purpose for my martial arts abilities. We'll just call it martial arts.
Okay.
And my martial arts will be revolving mostly around punching people in ways that makes it harder for them to punch me back.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Not in that kind of like pressure points nonsense, but just like hitting them in the gut so hard that their eyeballs pop out. Mm-hmm. Because that's a very, very anime standard kind of effect when you get hit in the gut really hard.
Yeah.
I'm trying to scroll up to the top so I can see the contents in there. It's just what I
need. Oh, there you go. Just doing all
that. Because one thing I did do right with this early assets version is I made the table of contents clickable.
As someone who has to deal with a lot of PDFs in their job, there's like nothing more frustrating because I'm like, it's not hard to do, like just mm-hmm. that and bookmarking your PDFs. But
I didn't know how to do that. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I mean, again, early access version. So right? Like the final mm-hmm. version, definitely going to have bookmarks because I'm very much with you on that. Let's see. Tiana's going to have his last thing, because I'm just imagining him just hitting people like hella hard with his punches. I almost want to add detonate just for no reason, just because I think it'd be funny to just hit people and watch their armor blow up. But that's not like kind of true to the source material, and I like mm-hmm. kind of like stick to as close as to that as possible if I can. Yeah, so we're gonna just do like kind of like the rapid punching thing that's very common in the show, and just go with flurry. Actually, yeah, we're going to go super basic and go flurry. So on dodge, opponents must spend 5 momentum to dodge this. If they don't, I add +1 power level to the attack. And on contact, the opponent suffers a downward initiative shift.
Cool.
So whenever he does attacks with his melee, something bad happens to you either way. Like, he doesn't actually have to hit you. So we'll do that and overwhelming, which is the other like kind of like super basic offense. Function that we have in there.
Okay.
And it functions pretty much similarly to flurry, that it has an on contact and an on dodge. So right. The on contact for overwhelming is opponents have to spend 5 momentum to block it. If they don't, I get +1 power level. On dodge, opponents have to move out of the zone or be affected as normal. So like you can just step out of the way of his martial arts ability if you choose to dodge. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, because of the flurry, he gets more defense if you don't. I mean, he gets more like power level if you don't, right?
Okay.
So like he's got like it's a win-win for him if he's using his martial arts.
Yeah.
Either way, he's going to get some sort of power level boost, and either way, like you're going to have to spend 5 momentum to keep up with him.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and so that's all.
All right, now we just need names. So I've got, I went with Crimson Stainer for mine.
That checks out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to name my character. Are we ready?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Falcon Swift.
Nice. That's very nice.
Oh man, this gives me great Sandman vibes in the best way. Because we feel like kind of like us, one of those like super Sentai forces in the universe.
Oh DBZ, yeah,
DBZ actually has like that in the form of Great Sandman and an evil version in the Ginyu Force.
Okay,
which is kind of like a stretch. Because they're not really Super Sentai, but they've got that kind of, like, group dynamic thing going on. Yeah, but I'm not going to follow that same naming convention, unfortunately. My name is Niet.
Niet.
Yeah, it's TN backwards.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, we did it.
For character gen.
We created characters.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for our Tidebreaker character creation episode. This was a lot of fun.
This was a lot of fun. I really like the we're going to talk about this more in the next episode, but my goodness, I really like this.
Nick, do you want to remind people where they can find you online and where they can find this game?
At Follow My Blade on Twitter. That's where you can find me. You can find my game at TidebreakerRPG.com. Get the early access edition. It's $15 right now. You're paying for the art, the editing, the printing and stuff, not the printing. We're going to do that for Kickstarter, but mostly the art and the editing, because I want the game to look as professional as possible for when we release on Kickstarter. So, like, I'm really just asking for your support. Like, as you can see, like, my game is fun. Like, even just right from character generation, we have lots of options to explore any narrative concept that you have within the realms of just action hero stuff. Like, if you want to feel good, feel competent and just like badass, like play my game. Because everybody deserves to be a badass, and I just hope everyone keeps it heroic. That's my hashtag.
Awesome. Very cool. All right. Well, thank you again, and thank you to everyone listening. Please join us next time for our discussion block.
Thanks for joining us for the second part of Series 34, everyone. We had a lot of fun finishing off those characters, and we went some really fun places with our fanfiction portion that you'll get to hear next episode. Mm-hmm. While you are waiting for that, here are some calls to action for you.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind everyone to check out my A Tale of Twinkle and Awe Chimera stream. Again, this coming Friday, you can check us out at twitch.chimera.games at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Where we will be playing through a festival episode and getting to know our heroes a bit more.
If you want to help out a really great organization, there is one day left to check out the World Builders fundraiser online. Mm-hmm. If you donate to it, please consider donating to the One-Shot Fund, which will help us unlock some cool perks as we raise more money. At $20,000, Patrick Rothfuss will appear on Skyjack Courier's Call, playing the character that he played on Skyjack's Prime, as mm-hmm. I like to call it. So that would be very exciting. At $30,000, One Shot will die. That is to say that they will record a series using the game based on Kieran Gillen and Stephanie Hahn's comic series. Mm-hmm. So those are exciting options, but only if we get enough money in the next day.
Yeah.
You can go to that fundraiser by going to wb2020.charactercreationcast.com or the link in the show notes.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. We do have a couple of reviews in our pockets right now. We still need more. So please leave us one on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podchaser, our Facebook page, etc. And we will read it on the show, like this one from, and I apologize if I get this name incorrect, Kander Adlin Ifara on Podchaser. One of my favorite podcasts out there. The enthusiasm and friendliness that Amelia Ryan and their guests showcases makes the episodes a delight to listen to. All of the interesting and different RPG systems is a lovely bonus. CCC is a bright light in a gloomy current. A lovely, fluffy blanket of nerdery, love, and fun to ward off the cold reality. Give it a listen. You won't regret it, I promise.
Oh, no one's ever described me as a fluffy blanket. I'm pretty sure they were talking about you.
I don't know.
I love that. A lovely fluffy blanket of nerdery.
I love it. Yeah, it is such a...
That's going to be the tagline for our show now, I think.
It is definitely a good tagline. Thank you so much for that review. Gosh, this one made me smile so much. And yeah, these are difficult times, and reviews like this really, really help us out and really give us a lot of good fuel.
Yes, to these keep reviews going. Are our lovely fluffy blanket.
Exactly. So thank you again for that. All right. Well, I think that's everything that we have for this episode. Join us next time where we go over the discussion episode. And until then, have a good week, everybody.
Yes. Stay safe. Drink water. Take a breath. Relax your shoulders. You can do it.
And keep making those amazing people. Character Creation Cast is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network and can be found online at www.charactercreationcast.com. Head to the website to get more information on our hosts, this show, and even our press kit. Character Creation Cast can also be found on Twitter at @creationcast or on our Discord server at discord.charactercreationcast.com. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Bolter, and I can be found on Twitter at @LordNeptune. Or online at LordNeptune.com. Our other host, Amelia Antrim, can be found on Twitter at @GingerReckoning. Music for this episode is used with a Creative Commons license or with permission from the podcast they originated from. Further information can be found within the show notes. Our main theme music is Hero Remix by Steve Combs and is used with a Creative Commons license. This podcast is owned by us under Creative Commons. This episode was edited by Ryan Bolter. Further information for the game systems used and today's guests can be found in the show notes. If you'd like to leave us a rating or review, we have links to various review platforms out there, including Apple Podcasts, in our show notes. Also, check the show notes for links to our other projects. Thanks for joining us. And remember, we find that the best part of any role-playing game is character creation. So go out there and create some amazing people. We will see you next time.
Now we gotta read some show blurbs.
Show blurbs.
Show blurbs.
Show blurbs.
Show blurbs.
Character Creation Cast is hosted by the OneShot Podcast Network. If you enjoyed our show, visit OneShotPodcast.com, where you will find other great shows like OneShot.
The most fun way to learn about new games is to play. On OneShot, you can discover the amazing variety in RPGs by listening to actual play. Every week, James D'Amato brings you a new episode with a talented cast of improvisers, game designers, and other notable nerds. At least once a month, OneShot features a new system exploring a wide variety of genres. The stories are self-contained, so you can jump in anywhere, and it's a great way to find your new favorite game. Discover the magic of RPGs with OneShot on your favorite podcast app.